do today. I'm glad we have a Bible that's still right in this day and this hour. It's so good to see you here for the preaching time. Let's stand and we honor the reading of the Word of God as our custom is in Ephesians chapter number 2. I'll start reading in verse number 1, and then as Nicholas said Wednesday night, if I get done reading and forget to seat you, you can be seated. Amen. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says, "And you hath He quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this old world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had," what about that, "our conversation, our behavior, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Somebody say, "But God," this morning. "But God, who is rich in mercy, oh, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, He hath quickened us," or made us alive together with Christ. "By grace ye are saved, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You may be seated this morning. I want to preach on this simple subject today, but God. I was headed to hell, but God. I didn't like church at all, but God. I wasn't much of a family man, but God. I was low on blessing, but God. I didn't have many friends, but God. I had no children, but God. I'm glad that God butted in my life, and I praise Him and I bless Him in this day and this hour. Lord, y'all acting like a bunch of Presbyterians this morning. I'm glad God butted in in my life, in your life. Now watch verse 1. "And you hath He." And I want to divide this sermon on that thought. "And you hath He." First of all, there's an emphasis on us. The Bible said, "and you." I wonder where you are this morning. I wonder if you're on your way to hell and you've never been saved by the good grace of God. Maybe you're here and you have accepted the Lord by faith and you've been saved by grace. I want to tell you, He points to us this morning. And we see this in verse 1, "and you." Look now, first of all, note our condition that we have. Verse 1, "you hath He quickened," or He's made alive. Watch. "Who were dead in trespasses and sin." Our condition. We were corpse. We were dead to God. Some of you may wonder, "Well, preacher, how dead is dead?" dead is dead. Amen. I mean, dead is dead. One of my favorite movies called True Grit. I seen it and I love that old actor. You know, had a patch on his eye. And there's a going down through the woods on horses and they come up and they seen this dead man hanging way up tall in the tree. I'll never forget what that little girl asked him. Said, why did they hang him so high? He said they thought it'd make him more dead. Can I tell you this morning that dead is dead. And we all were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead is dead. Now, I don't want to bring a morbid type spirit in here, but I want to give this example and I'll move on. If we had a dead man laying here, a dead person, you'll notice this, that you could speak to a dead person, but they cannot hear. That's why I want to remind you today, when you got loved ones, you better be telling them that you love them now. Because when they lay in that box, they don't know what you're saying. Don't send flowers then. Send them something now. Let them know how much you appreciate them in this day, in this hour. I've seen folks line up to a casket. Oh, I wish I'd done that. Well, today is the day. Lord, I wish y'all helped me preach this morning. But dead is dead. They cannot hear. Then you'll notice this. You can speak to dead all you want. They cannot see. They will not open their eyes. The Bible said that the God of this world hath blinded them that are dead. A lot of times you come into church and you can't hear what we hear. You know, as the choir was singing this morning, Brother Tim, I'm glad it's well with my soul. I heard something from my spiritual ear. And Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Oh, I sure am glad that God awoke me in my dead state one day. And as dead people come in, they've never been saved by the grace of God. They are dead. But we that are saved, we've been made very much alive in Christ. And so a dead person, they cannot hear, they cannot see. Have you ever noticed that you can't feed a dead person a snack? They cannot taste. The Lord said, taste and see that the Lord is good. A lot of people leave service. They say, well, I don't know what everybody's so excited about. I once was lost, but now I'm found. My sins are gone. Thank God. I'm headed to heaven through Christ this morning. Our condition. You'll notice a dead person has no feelings. A lot of times you walk in and can't feel nothing. I don't know why people get so excited and torn. Let me tell you, I know salvation ain't feeling. But I got Bible to show you this and I got experience to show you this. When you get saved, you'll have some feeling that come with it. You may not run around the building and shout, but you can raise your hand. You can say amen. You can shed a tear. I'm glad that we can have feelings in Christ. And we have feelings one for another. That dead person in that box, he has no feelings for nobody. But oh, I'm glad that he's put feelings in my heart for my brother and sisters in Christ. You know, some of you may wonder why church is so boring. I'll never forget this. I was raised in religion all my life. My parents made me go to church every time the door was open. We was there. And it was so boring to me. I'd make up excuses. I got my driver's license, Brother David, and we was out in the country. Mom and Daddy went to a little country church. I said, I'm going to be a big shot now. I'm going to the big town church. You know what I done? I rode around all morning. I come back in. They said, how was church? I said, oh, it was real good. He said, well, did you tell a lie? I sure did, because I was a sinner. But I've noticed when you get saved, the line leaves. Somebody say amen. Church was so boring to me. But I love coming to church. Man, Wednesday night, I was anticipating hearing these young men preach. And the Spirit of God moved across this place. You talking about something that went in my heart. I tell you, I love, thank God ain't dead no more. We ought to act like we're alive. We ought to holler amen every now. Some of you ought to throw your hand up and let your neighbor know you ain't dead. Throw your hand up toward heaven. Let me see if you made a lie this morning. Now see, that didn't hurt you, raise your hand. Amen. Our condition, we were dead. We could not respond to God. Then you'll notice not only in verse 1 our condition, you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You'll notice our course in verse 2. Now watch, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Child of God, if you've been saved, you ought to walk different now. You ought to not walk according to the course of this world. The world's vices. We think different than the world. We're to act different than the world. I want to say we ought to dress different than the world. Some of y'all kill me with these pictures you take at the beach. It's amazing to me. Are you kidding me? Covered up. Somebody say covered up this morning. Lord God, y'all got weak on me now. Anybody want tag team preach this morning? Thank God. Hallelujah. Well, still right. Don't think I won't preach, honey. So what we used to do, we're not supposed to do them things no more. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Our word ought to be our bond. We ought not have a contract. Some of you people's filled out this, your work ethics, and handed out to this congregation. Your word ought to be your bond. If you can't do what you tell them to do, then get out of business. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. Now I'm feeling better today. Y'all better watch it. Our course, verse 2, watch, time passed, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Boy, don't America have such a downtrodden spirit. Boy, young people, what happened to your work ethic? You young people, you've got the greatest opportunity of any generation that's ever lived in America. If you'll just work and be prompt, serve the Lord, there's no telling what you can be and do in this whole world. Praise God, I thank God I'm not running that Pepsi plant this morning. Need 25 drivers, are you kidding me? I'd fire 24 out of 25. Somebody say amen, Brother David. My Lord, I see them in grocery stores, uniforms, look like I come out of a tin can. I mean, it's unbelievable. But anyway, I ain't there now, I'm here. Praise God, I'm here. Our course, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let me tell you, this world's only acting the way this world's been acting a long time. But now they've got a camera stuck in their face. That's the only difference. So we see the course. Verse 3, look at the conversation. That word is a Bible word which means behavior. Look at it in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our behavior, our conversation in times past. Hold on a minute. We can't accuse nobody of nothing. We used to do the same thing. Why are you going to folk? Why do you think you better than somebody else? Why would you throw rocks at somebody that hadn't been saved? Why don't you show grace and mercy and pray for them? We all had our behaviors in time past. You say, preacher, you ought not talk about that. I'm glad I've got a testimony. And you know, I am a prodigal child. I know what the hog pen's like. I know what it smells like. I know what it does. But thank God for some that never left the Father's house and they got saved young and they serving the Lord. But I come to tell you, God's still in the saving business this morning. We all walked according to the course of this world. Watch, according to the prince of the power of the air. We all had our conversation time past in the lust of our flesh. Watch, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. When you get saved, I've noticed this about the flesh and desires. You may want to. but you really don't want to. The desires of the flesh. Boy, I'm glad God's still working on me. And you'll notice this, our conversation or our behavior will fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now, look also in verse 3, not only our condition and our course and our conversation, but lastly under this of us, look at the condemnation in verse number 3. There's an elder preacher called me last night. Renee was in the living room and I talked with this man for some time. This conversation came up and this is what he told me. He said, "Brother Ken, I really believe the reason that people don't get saved in this day and this hour, they don't realize why they need to be saved." Well, I want to show you that in the Bible this morning, why I needed to be saved. The condemnation. Look in verse 3. "And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You know, we ought to thank the Lord that He budded in our life. You'll notice that we were by nature the children of wrath. What is he, preacher, what, just in country preaching terms, what's that about? Turn with me, if you would, over on the left of your Bible. And look now in Romans 5. I won't preach much longer, but I'm going to give you this. Romans 5. And I want you to see these verses. They're so rich. Look in verse 12 of Romans 5. I'm going to give you a second to get there in your Bible. I want to say something while I'm preaching. Church, if anybody needs a good Bible, let me know. We'll be glad to get you a good Bible. If you want to know how to get a good study Bible, let me know. I've got a lot of good places and contacts that you can get. But now watch in your Bible. Very important you have a Bible. Romans 5 and 12. "Wherefore," we're talking about the condemnation now. What are you talking about? We're condemned. It's like an old house. Somebody comes by in the permit office, they put a sign on it that says, "Condemned." It means it don't pass. So what is he talking about? Our condemnation. We were under the wrath of God, even as others. Here it is. "Wherefore is by one man," who's that? Adam in the garden. "By one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin." And watch this, young people. I don't want to be morbid here, but I want to be a good preacher and tell you right. So death passed upon all men. Everybody in this building is going to lay this flesh down one day. I got to think about this, Brother Mike. It's like a line. There's a man that I preached for several times up in Mount Airy. He's only 65. The Lord called him home Friday, and there's a church without a pastor, a family that's devastated. And I preached for this man last year. Broke bread with him, enjoyed the goodness of God. And it's just like this, Brother David, we're all in a line and we're all taking a step. And when that one right there, God has called them out, we're taking another step up. And young people, I don't know where you are in that line, but I come to tell you, you are in that line. And I'm in that line. Death passed on all men. That's why we're all going to die, because of what Adam did in the garden. He sinned. And when he sinned, death came upon all men. Now watch your Bible. Romans 5:12. "Death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Do you see that? You may think you're a good person, but you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Because death passed on everybody, because all have sinned. "For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For through the offense, one many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace," which is this, "which is by one man," not a pope, not a preacher, but Jesus. "By one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift.
For the judgment was by one to condemnation. When Adam sinned, he brought us into condemnation. We could not live the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. They've taken the Ten Commandments out of our communities and our courthouses. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's something wrong with us. We just can't keep the law. I realize there's some pretty well-to-do people, but there's none good. No, not one. And you see, when we sin, that don't make us a sinner. The reason we sin, because we are a sinner. And so here this condemnation passed upon all men. Now watch this. In verse 17, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, watch, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You see, what has to do with you and me, our condition, our course, our conversation, but lastly, our condemnation. The wrath of God is fell upon man, and they must be saved. But God had a plan for that. God sent His Son that we may believe in Him. He'd wash away all of our sins, and we would be declared righteous before God. Wouldn't that be amazing if you walked in this place with condemnation on you, judgment, you were guilty, but you could leave out as a free man, free woman, free boy, free girl. Now lastly, but God and you. But now in verse 1 of Ephesians 1, and God hath He. Watch what it says. And you hath He quickened. Now, let's see who He is in verse 4. But God is rich in mercy. I want to say, hath He, He is rich in mercy. Oh, I'm so glad He's rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? It's God withholding what we do deserve. It's God withholding what we do deserve. That's mercy, and He's very rich in it. He's rich in mercy, but look also in verse 4, He's great in love. He simply said this, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Romans 5 and 8, but God, listen to this, I'm about done preaching. I feel like I'm losing you. Hang on a minute. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You say, preacher, I don't like that bloody gospel. You'll die and go to hell without it. You say, well, preacher, hell ain't so bad. There ain't a good place in hell this morning. You're not going to be playing cards and playing Nintendo and sending emails in hell. You're going to be gnashing with your teeth. Burning forever. You say you believe that, preacher? It's in my Bible and I'm going to preach it. I don't care what any of this left-wing woke crowd says. I come to tell you today there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and you better get saved while you can get saved. You see this morning, He's rich in mercy. He's great in love. Verse 5, He's big in life, Brother Tim. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. In other words, He's made us alive. That word quickened, it simply means this. He's made us alive. He's rich in mercy, great in love, big in life. Verse 6, He's sovereign in position. Look, He hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, lastly, He's sure in promise. He says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ. And we'll give you a nugget. I'm done preaching. I've got a new Bible. Had to go to a big print Bible. Y'all laugh now. But I noticed something last night, Brother Jamie, that I'd never really noticed in Ephesians 2. Brother Tim, look at it. Verse 5, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, look, with Christ. You see that? Look in verse 6. Made us set together in places in Christ. And then verse 7, he says, the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ. Isn't that amazing? With Christ, in Christ, and through Christ. It's all about Jesus this morning. Miss Sherry, would you come today, please? You see, we know about us, but where are you with Him? Brother Dwayne, I thought about you last night when I read this out of one of Spurgeon's old notes. I read his sermons. I love them. Back in the 1820s, there was a man that went in and he robbed the mail office and he killed a man. A lot of the business people in the town really liked this man that had taken another life. And so they went to the President of the United States for him. And so they asked him for a pardon. The President, he sent back to the town and he pardoned this man that was guilty of murder. He pardoned him. And this man that done the murder, you know what he said? He said, I won't accept it. I'm going to die for what I've done. So as the President sent that pardon to the sheriff, he told the sheriff, he said, I want to be hung. The sheriff said, I've got a problem here. He said, the President has sent forth a pardon and I can't hang you. So they sent it to the Supreme Court. And this is what they said. And this is what I want to close this sermon with. They said, if a man will not receive pardon, then it will be carried out. The man went up to the gallows and he was hung by his neck and he died. And there was the pardon on the desk in the office, but he didn't receive it. And that's so much like sinners today. God is willing to pardon you by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You die and go to hell, the pardon was sent for you. But you've got to receive it. You've got to receive it by faith. You say, preacher, the Bible said we're saved by grace through faith. What is that? Grace is what God extends to every person. And faith is what you access it with. You know, a lot of people say, well, preacher, how do I be saved? I tell you how you can be saved. You've got to realize you are a sinner. And you need the Savior. And when you realize that and you feel like the Lord dealing with you, there's nobody can wake you up but the Lord. Only the Lord. You remember when Lazarus had died? He'd been dead 4 days already. He went down there to town and Martha said, by now he stinketh. And Jesus walked up that tomb, Brother Mike. He said, roll the stone away. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he come out of the grave. I want to ask you, is God saying anything to you this morning? Only He can awaken you. Only the Spirit of God can put you in the family of Christ. And He died for you. He died for the sins of this whole world. Your pardon has been sent. Will you accept it? Miss Sherry's going to play this. I want Christians to pray around the building. I want to tell you this morning, if you'd step out by faith and receive Christ as your Savior, He'd pardon you and save you today. I wonder, would you come right now? Do you want to be saved? Jesus loves you.